don't wanna be just someone that's new. I speak my mind so free, so you could hear the truth. Yeah, I know that we all have fear.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Truth for Youth podcast. I'm your host, Micah Murphy, and this is the podcast that is dedicated to bringing you truth. Not my truth, not the world's truth, but biblical truth, God's truth. Today's topic is one that maybe you've had, especially if you're a young Christian or you're a young believer, young not in the sense of age, but in the sense of how long you've been a Christian. One of the common things is to question or to maybe even contemplate, like, am I really saved? Like, what all really is involved with salvation, with getting to heaven versus, you know, what does the Bible say versus maybe what does the world say versus what is your conscience telling you? And it can be very confusing. And it's one of those things that over time, you're going to have all sorts of different feelings, all sorts of different emotions and thoughts around your salvation. And it's very, very common, first of all, let me tell you, to A, doubt your faith, and then B, to question your faith. If you're a Christian or if you've been a Christian for any period of time, at some point, you're probably going to doubt it. You're probably going to wonder, is your salvation legit? Is it real? Are you really, quote unquote, saved? Are you really going to go to heaven when you die? And look, that's a good thought to have. You know, in reality, you want to know for sure that you're saved. At least I think you should want that. So this conversation I was having with a teenager is what sparked this topic. And I thought, you know what, let me do a podcast on that because I don't think I've talked about this before, but it is something that, again, a lot of people deal with. And I would argue maybe everybody at some point in your Christian faith will go through this. Excuse me, we'll go through this of just kind of wondering, you know, am I really saved? So again, I was having a conversation with someone and they were like, you know, I don't think I'm saved. I don't think I'm a Christian. And so as I began to ask questions, like, why do you think that? And after talking to this person, it's evident that they grew up in a Christian home, that they grew up going to church, that they prayed to receive Jesus as personal Lord and Savior when they were young. And here they are as a teenager and now beginning to have some doubts as to whether or not they truly were saved. So again, as we're having this conversation and I'm asking, for one, I want to know what does this person believe about Jesus? Who is Jesus? And how are you actually saved? Or what do you believe about how you're saved? Or, you know, how does one get salvation? And the teenager answered correctly. You know, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus came and lived here on earth and lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And that if we believe that, then we're saved. And that is essentially correct. Yeah, I mean, there's no magic prayer. There's no magic potion. There's no magical amount of times you have to go to church or you have to pray in order to receive this salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. No one ever earns it, okay? You can never earn your salvation. Just the fact that you are alive, that you're a human being, God offers it to you. He offers you the option to be saved, to receive salvation. So it is a free gift in that sense, but it is a commitment. It is a heart decision. It is a spirit decision. It is a mind decision. You have to fully decide, okay, I truly believe that there is this one true God. I truly believe that He loves me and He wants a relationship with me, but I'm a sinful human, that I've messed up, I've made mistakes. You know, even if I've sinned just one time, you know, told one little lie, disobeyed my parents one time, took something that didn't belong to me, you know, had an evil thought, you know, one little sin now makes you imperfect and you cannot be in the presence of a perfect God. So that's why Jesus came to live a perfect life so that He could be the perfect sacrifice. He could be what we need. We needed a bridge. We needed a sacrifice for our sins. We needed a way that we could be reconciled to God. And so God said, you can't reconcile yourself because you're imperfect. But if I give you a perfect individual in Jesus, and he dies for your sin, then your sins can truly be forgiven, and we can bridge that gap. So again, it's not a magic prayer. It's not a magical thing. It's just, well, it kind of is magical in the sense that, you know what, it is a miracle. And we are very blessed to have a God that loves us, a God of mercy, a God of grace who offers us Jesus. But it's just something that you decide, okay? It's something that you do in your own spirit, in your own mind, in your own heart. It's a decision that you make. So it's not between anybody else. So even though I'm talking to this teenager, I can't decide whether or not, you know, you're saved or you're going to heaven. That's between you and God. You know, that's an individual thing. Now I can look at this teenager and I can talk to this teenager and ask him questions. And after walking through, you know, some questions with this individual, I believe that this person was saved. I believe that they are a Christian. I just think they got to a point in their relationship where they got convicted of not living to their fullest, not living to all that God has called them to be. And so they were convicted of that and started doubting, well, maybe I'm not even a Christian. But that is just a normal thing. That is a normal thing to doubt. That is a normal thing to go through these phases. And again, I think if you're a Christian long enough, you're going to go through these phases. Look, having a relationship with Jesus is not a, you know, you all of a sudden are a sinner and you're lost and you pray to receive Christ and now you're this Christian and your life is completely fulfilled and you're perfect, right? You have everything that you could possibly want. It's a relationship, okay? And relationships take time, take energy. There's ups, there's downs. It is a process. So there's this big word in theology called sanctification, and that just means that it's a work of becoming more and more like Jesus. So once you pray to receive Christ, you're starting that sanctification process, but this process doesn't get completed until we're actually dead and in the presence of God, because we're always going to be sinning. We're always going to be growing and maturing. And so you can't be fully sanctified until we are completely dead and when we're in the presence of Christ at that moment. So if it's a continual process, you're going to be continually learning, right? You're going to continually growing. You may be falling at times, you know, stumbling, crawling. It's just an up and down process. It's like a roller coaster to some extent. And so through that, you're going to have these doubts. And for one, I think doubts are good because they make us really question why we believe something, because we don't want to just believe something just because we've heard it or just because someone told us to believe it. We want to believe something because we truly believe it and there's some kind of substance there. So I was telling this teenager, look, that's common for you to have doubts and to get to a point where you're like, you know what, like, I need to be living more. I need to be doing more. I need to be living more like what Christ wants me to live. And I share, when I was 16, I was right before I turned 16. So it was the summer before my sophomore year in high school. At a camp, Fuge Camp, Centrifuge, I really felt God convicting me that I wasn't living the way I should. And again, I grew up, you know, Christian home, grew up going to church, very active in youth group, was a quote unquote good kid, but I wasn't living the way Christ wanted me to live. I knew I could do better. I knew I could honor him more. I could make better decisions. I could be a better leader, a better witness for him. I could share Christ more with friends and people around me, and just be overall more of a spiritual leader on my teams, classroom, school, youth group, etc. And it hit me hard. Like, I was really convicted at that camp. And, you know, I broke down. I was bawling. I was crying. And just knew that I needed to rededicate my life. Really kind of felt like maybe as a younger, I was kind of, I don't want to say I was pressured into it, but I really felt like, you know, okay, I was trying to be a Christian because I was, you know, wanted to make my mom happy. For one, my mom used to really talk to me about being a Christian and praying with me at night, and so I really wanted to do that for her. But as I, you know, as a 15-year-old, almost 16, like I realized, hey, you know, this is my decision. This is me. This is what I want to do, and I understand more. You know, as a 16-year-old, I was understanding more what it was like to be a Christian than when I was, you know, 10, 11-year-old praying to receive Christ for the first time. But again, just because I was 16 didn't mean I had it all figured out. Didn't mean I'd fully reached sanctification. In fact, I was far from it. Look, I'm mid, later 40s, and I'm still figuring out. I'm still falling short. I'm still sinning. I'm still letting God down. Like, that's part of the process, is you continue to learn, you continue to grow, you continue to make mistakes, and hopefully learn from those mistakes. You know, and I've learned a lot in my relationship. I've learned, you know, God is a very forgiving God. He's a very gracious God. But God also expects a lot from us. And, you know, I'm learning more and more about that, and trying to live to my fullest potential, because I realize, again, now that I'm older, look, life is precious and you only get one shot. You know, when you're young, you think you'll live forever and you have so much life ahead of you. And it is true. And I pray I still have a lot of life ahead of me, but I also realize that a lot of life is behind me. And there's still a lot of things I feel like I need to accomplish from the standpoint of, that's why God put me here on this earth. It's not just to always have fun and to have a great life. It's to accomplish a purpose, you know, like, I just feel like I have more things that I've got to accomplish, that I need to accomplish in order to really be all who God wants me to be. And that's really what I want to do. I want to get to the end of my life and be like, you know what, I may not have reached 100% potential, because I know I've messed up and made mistakes, but at least I gave it a really good run, you know, and I accomplished a lot of what God wanted to accomplish through me. That's my goal. And so anyways, talking to this teenager about that and kind of working through it, I'm like, I believe you're a Christian. I believe you're just being convicted, that the Holy Spirit is convicting you, saying, look, I have more for you. I want more out of life for you. Instead of just this mediocre life of just, you know, being content and being complacent with just being a Christian and living a pretty good, you know, life, I want more. You know, I want you to be more. I want you to achieve more. I want you to be more of a leader and be more bold in your faith and sharing. And so anyways, it was hitting this teenager pretty hard. But, you know, working through that, I think they came to realize, okay, so maybe I really am a Christian. I just need to be doing more. And again, the thought of, you know, and I was telling him, look, it's okay to continue to pray the prayer of salvation. Like, it's not like you're going to be punished because you pray a prayer of salvation more than one time. You know, like, I probably prayed it 100 times throughout my life because I just wanted to be sure. You know, like, that's not one of those things that I wanted to leave up for question. Like, did I pray it the right way? You know, I used to think maybe I left out a word, or maybe, you know, some of the sins have caused me to not be saved anymore, or, you know, there's times I was complacent or disobedient. Maybe, you know, maybe God kicked me out of the club, so to speak. And that's not the case. You don't just get kicked out. Now, if you truly reject Jesus, then yes, you know, you're no longer saved. But, you know, the Bible, again, the Bible is very clear. It doesn't leave it up for question, and it's not a mystery that you have to have some, you know, mysterious key to unlock the answer. You know, Jesus is very clear in Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no other conditions. Yes, baptism's great, but baptism doesn't save you. Yes, going to church is great, but going to church doesn't save you. Yes, praying and reading your Bible, those are great things and you should be doing them, but those do not save you. What saves you is, what do you believe? What do you believe deep down in your heart? What do you believe in your mind and in your soul and in your spirit? Do you believe that Jesus truly is Lord? not a Lord, but the Lord. There's no other way. There's no other way to salvation. There's no other way to heaven. I don't care what other religion you want to believe in. They're all false. They are all false. And I've gone through different religions in this podcast in the past. Be more than happy for you to go back and re-listen to those. All those other religions have false beliefs in them. They have holes in them. And ultimately, they're not going to get you to heaven. I will promise you that. Christianity is the only way. There is only one God, and there is only one way to get to that God, and that is through Jesus Christ, and He is the only way, the truth, the life, the way, no other way. And so if you believe that Jesus is the way, you believe He is the Lord, and you want Him to be your personal Lord and Savior, you just believe it in your heart, and that you believe that God raised Him from the dead. Again, going back to what I said earlier, He came, He lived as 100% human, but He was also 100% God, but He lived here on earth a perfect life, and He died on a cross. You can all look it up. It's historical documents. You can look it up. He died on the cross, a man named Jesus, and He appeared to people after His death on the cross. It wasn't a almost death. It wasn't a, you know, fake death. He really died on a cross. It's documented. And He rose from the dead, and people believed that they had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and He changed thousands of people's lives, and hundreds of people saw Him post-death. Now, if you believe that God raised Him from the dead, it says you will be saved. Now, you can believe in your heart, and you will be saved. Okay, there should be no more doubt. If you want to have 100% certainty that you are saved, that's it, right there. Romans 10:9. And there shouldn't be any other doubts. Yes, you may have some questions. Yes, Satan may want to put doubts in your mind and make you question, oh, you're not good enough, or you sinned, or, you know, why would God ever love someone like you? But that's of the devil. Okay, that's him trying to get you to doubt and to think there's maybe other ways to salvation, or maybe that you can't ever really truly be saved, to create these doubts. But that is the truth. Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. So I hope all of you out there, that if you've ever doubted or you're going through questions, go back to that. And again, if you're not sure, pray that prayer. Pray the prayer of saying, God, I am a sinner. I am lost. I need Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my wrongdoing. And I trust You, and I want You to be my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that God rose You from the dead, and you will be saved. And you can pray that prayer 100 times. You don't need to. You only need to pray it once. But I'm just saying, if you're, you know, nervous about your salvation, you pray that, believe it in your heart, and then just know from this point forward that you are saved. Now, going back to what I said earlier, a relationship is like a roller coaster, okay? There's ups and downs. You're going to feel close to God one minute. You're going to feel distant another. You're going to be up on the mountain high and praising God and praising Jesus and feel like everything is great and perfect one minute. And then the next, you feel so distant and feel so alone and so maybe lost. It's just part of the process. You have to continue to stay the course. I'll use the term spiritual grit. You know, I love the word grit. I love the skill, and it is a skill. It's ability to keep pushing forward towards a goal despite obstacles, hardships, lack of motivation, energy. You know, you keep going towards that goal. Spiritual grit, there's going to be times when you just don't feel like it. You don't feel like loving God. You don't feel like living today for God. You don't feel like making the right decisions. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading your Bible, and you just got to do it anyways. You have to dig deep, get that spiritual grit, and just keep taking a step forward. Keep doing it. Go another day, go another step, and you continue to do that. And over time, you'll see that God is using that and he's continuing to grow you into a closer relationship with him, and you'll understand more about him. You understand more about his love for you, more about his purpose for you. But it takes that discipline. It takes that spiritual grit to push through those difficult times. I wish every time was easy. I wish I woke up every morning just super excited and just could not wait to dig deep into my Bible and read and pray and live the life every day for Jesus. But the reality is that just doesn't happen. Like it just, at least it doesn't happen for me. Maybe there's people out there that live like that. And I wish, you know, I wish that was the case. But reality is it just doesn't happen that way. Just like any relationship you've probably ever been in, you know, sometimes a relationship's great, but sometimes it's work. You know, it just takes effort. It takes, you know, pushing through at times. And so I just wanted this podcast to be for those who doubt their faith or will doubt their faith at some point. Maybe you've never done that, but at some point in the future, you'll be like, oh, you know what? I think I heard Micah talking about that on a podcast one time. Come back and listen to this podcast. And I hope this brings you just reassurance that once you believe it in your heart and you truly believe it, that you are saved, okay? You may have some doubts. Yep, you may have some valleys that you go through, but that doesn't mean you're no longer saved. You're going to have moments of realization as you grow and mature that you know what, you do need to be doing more. You do need to be living more for God. Look, God says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. God doesn't want you to be mediocre. He doesn't want you to be complacent. He wants you to live your fullest to the maximum. So yes, as you grow and develop in your relationship, hopefully the Holy Spirit is convicting you, saying, hey, you know what? You do need to change. You do need to get rid of that stuff in your life that's pulling you down. You do need to cast off some of this sin that's just keeping you from being all that I want you to be. And you need to be doing more, maybe reading the Bible more, praying more, sharing your faith more, living by faith more, because that's how we grow in our relationship with Christ. Right? Try to get that Bible intake, whether that be, you know, podcasts, reading your Bible, going to church, you know, getting good biblical truth. You need that. And then just walking by faith, continue to believe God is who he is. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. He won't reveal it all at once, but step by step, living by faith, living for him. And I promise you it'll all work out in the end. So stick with it, guys. Keep pushing. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I hope this gives you that assurance that you need in your salvation. Guys, I love you as always. You know, if you have questions or need anything, my contact information is in the show notes. So go there, hit it up, and please, guys, share the show. You know, I'm back at it. Look, I already beat last year. I got two podcasts out already in 2024, and it's just now the 1st of February, so I've already beat last year. Like I said, I'm going to be better at this year. You know, we're going to do better. And I need you guys along with me, though, okay? You'll come along for the ride. Let's grow. Let's make 2024 even better. And keep living for Jesus. Keep sharing. Share the show. As always, guys, love you, and we'll catch you in the next podcast. Bye-bye. I don't want to be just someone that's new. I speak my mind so free so you could hear the truth. Yeah, I know that we all have fear.